Shades from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerd, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
How you doing, Darren? How was your week?
My week?
I want to hear every single bit of your week. Take me through it day by day. Or just give me like a sentence or two in summary.
I stayed indoors. Work.
There you go. All right. You stayed indoors. That's good to hear.
I worked. I ate food. Went to sleep.
Nice.
And then it was lather, rinse, repeat until Friday when I watched WandaVision. And then...
It's really just the days between WandaVision right now, isn't it?
Yeah, really is. Like
it's just killing time for those 6 days until a new WandaVision drops. And then, yeah. I mean, Friday, I was like, damn it, I got to go grocery shopping, but I really just want to stay home and contemplate this episode of WandaVision for the next 23 hours.
I mean, to quote Loverboy, everybody's just working for the Wanda.
I think you got that slightly wrong, but that's what? Okay. I mean, the sentiment holds true, even if the lyric does not.
Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes.
Everybody's working for the Wanda. Everybody wants a new vision, isn't it?
Just go ahead and get it out of your system. That's good.
I may need to go outside. Like, I think my brain's gone a little loco.
Okay. But we are not here to talk about WandaVision. We are here to talk about Saturday Night Live, specifically the episode from February 27th, 2021, season 46, episode 14, with Nick Jonas hosting and musical guesting.
Double duty.
And he's been on the show a few times before. He's got a bit of a history with the show.
He was on the show with his two other, his brothers. They call themselves the Jonas Brothers. You might be familiar.
I've heard that, yes.
They performed twice on SNL, and he was a musical guest once back when Julia Louis-Dreyfus hosted. So this is the first time he'll be hosting and musical guesting.
Nice. And, I'm gonna just leap to the end, give a bit of a spoiler. I thought he did a very nice job.
Yeah, he did all right. He seemed pretty... I mean, he was a little stumbly in a few places, but for the most part, he seemed pretty game for everything. He seemed pretty, relaxed towards the end of the episode, and he's like, "Oh, he's all right. This Nick Jonas kid, he's all right. I think he's going places."
Yeah, exactly. He's got a new solo album out called Spaceman. Played a couple numbers from that, and we'll get into it.
Yeah, and I was very disappointed to find out that Spaceman was not about the Chris Parnell character, Dr. Leo Spaceman from 30 Rock.
Do you mean Dr. Leo Spaceman?
Yeah. Yes, you know what? My apologies. It's pronounced Pachemin. Yes.
It is pronounced Pachemin. That would be awesome. That guy needs a theme song.
He needs his own series, like on Disney Plus or something.
He does. Yeah, let's get that going, Disney. Actually, it would probably be on Peacock.
Yeah, you're right.
It was because 30 Rock, it was an NBC show. You got to put that on Peacock.
Right. Peacock probably controls his the licensing and all that jazz. You know, yeah, it would be Peacock, but... Guys, get on that. MacGruber show, back-to-back with a Dr. Leo Spaceman show.
Is the MacGruber show going to be on Peacock?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, from what I've heard. They say it's happening. I mean, it's...
And have they set, a premiere date for that or anything yet?
I don't think a premiere date has been set, but from what I've seen on the Instagrams from the Lonely Island guys, from Yorma Taccone, there is a script, and it is happening. I don't know if they're still filming or they're done filming, but it's definitely in the works.
Yeah, I saw Will Forte on Late Night with Seth Meyers not too long ago, and he actually read a bit from the script, I believe.
There you go.
So
excited! As for listeners who know my love of MacGruber, who have listened to me ramble on their, now infamous MacGruber episode from a few years back, once that TV show comes out, I'll be a happy fella.
Yeah, you will be very happy. But in the meantime, we've got episodes of Saturday Night Live to entertain us.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
So like this Nick Jonas episode from this week.
Yeah, let's talk about it, for Pete's sake.
Let's get into it. So starting out, we had the vaccine game show Cold Open with Kate McKinnon as Dr. Fauci hosting a game show. So you think you can get the vaccine because, as Dr. Fauci said, Americans only want it if it means that somebody else can't.
I mean, where's the lie? So yeah, in this cold open, it's set up like an American Idol type game show where people are trying to get the vaccine or auditioning to get the vaccine. And we have three judges, three governors playing the judges. Gavin Newsom, played by Moffitt. California's Gavin Newsom. We got Andrew Cuomo, Pete Davidson doing his Cuomo again, getting better and better at this Cuomo.
He's kind of killing it as Cuomo. When Cuomo's in the news so much now, he's going to get lots of opportunities to play Cuomo again. The show's going to be off for a little while, so we'll see what happens with Cuomo over the next month.
Yeah, of course, Cuomo's been going through not great things have come out to light about Mr. Cuomo.
He's having a month.
He's having a moment. Like, I think they even mentioned it in the cold open. We're like, yeah, hey, remember back a couple months ago when everybody loved me and everybody was like, damn, daddy, let's go back to those times. Let's focus on what I am now.
And because we also in the governors, we have a crazy white lady. Well, so who else are we going to tap to play her but Cecily Strong as Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer?
It's her wheelhouse, baby.
I'm probably being a little not too charitable. Gretchen Whitmer's not that crazy.
From what we've seen from other politicians out and about in today's world, she's like the most sane.
Yeah, she's inspired craziness, I should say. It was just because Cecily was playing her, I was like, oh yes, of course, it's a crazy white lady. But no, Gretchen Whitmer is rather sane. And the first contestant was played by Heidi, and they say she's from Michigan, and she was like, oh, I voted for you. No, actually, I voted for you to get kidnapped, because there was a kidnapping plot against her.
Yeah, remember that, guys? Like, how did that get kind of swept under the rug? We all kind of glazed over that.
There are so many crazy stories every week. It's so easy to lose track.
Oof.
She also said she does IT for the OnlyFans website, so she's keeping very busy. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. Then we had Ego come out as somebody trying to pretend to be an old woman. Mm-hmm. She looked very young, except for she had like a gray wig on. It's like, oh, I'm old. I go to church voluntarily.
And they were like two women who actually did this to try and get the vaccine.
Yeah, like
that was based on a real thing.
Wow.
And we had Melissa Villaseñor coming out as a pregnant lady. She was like, can I get the vaccine? And everyone's like, oh, I don't know.
Like, can you? I don't know. Then we had, what was it? Bowen Count coming out as somebody from New Jersey.
Yeah, he was a proud smoker from New Jersey, because apparently in New Jersey, smokers can get the vaccine because I guess they're more at risk, which I didn't know.
I had not heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, Jersey, I don't, yikes. I don't know if I agree with that.
That's kind of weird, right? But
Kind of.
And then we had Edie Bryant making her return as Ted Cruz. Got a little applause break.
Yeah, this Ted Cruz thing got legs. This is like, what, the third time in a row she's done this?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's at least 2 weeks running because the Cancun story broke. And we had Mikey Day coming back as an old guy. We actually had one of our Twitter followers talk about this. Let me see if I can find the tweet. Where was it? I don't have that.
I'll look it up. Yeah, because Mikey Day was kind of playing that character that he's played before, Mort Fellner. But like, I think in this sketch, he was under a different name, like Seymour, something or other. But like, he looked and sounded.
One of our Twitter followers, I think it might have been Ruby the Rube, asked about that. They were like, "Why did they change the character name?" And I can answer that because SNL happened to repeat the Don Cheadle, Gary Clark Jr. episode from 2019 tonight, and Mikey did the character on that show. And in that show, he was identified as a super septuagenarian. So he was like at least like 110, 120 years old. And his character on the show tonight was identified as an 85-year-old. So, of course, you know, the ages don't line up.
That's right.
So they had to. But Ruby the Rube even helpfully posted, like, pictures of both the characters. And, yeah, it's like Mikey in the exact same makeup with the costume a little different.
It's literally Mikey. Like, if you look at the pictures side to side, in one he has a hat and the other one he doesn't. But aside from that, it's the same dude.
He has a different colored bow tie. But, yeah, he also has a mustache. He is doing the same old guy voice. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wow, dude, they really, all right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. They said he was Seymour Foreman instead of Mort Filner, but I'm guessing it was because of the age thing, because he said he's 85 years young. So obviously they didn't want to create the big continuity snarl that would be of him suddenly losing 30, 40 years off his age.
Yeah, I mean, people out there are crunching the numbers. You can't look foolish on this.
I mean, yeah, we don't want to give the poor guy at SNL Stats a heart attack.
Yeah. Shout out to you, John Schneider.
Yeah. Hi, John. So what do we think of this opener?
I mean, I thought it was okay. Again, mm-hmm. It's another cold open that's not like directly political, but it kind of is. Yeah, I think somebody tweeted at us too, like mentioning, well, we'll get to the tweets later, but them saying like, oh, it seems like they're kind of veering away from the political cold opens because, you know, for the past year or so, we were just bombarded with every political cold open like imaginable. And now it seems like, you know, at least for the past, you know, four or five episodes now, they've kind of steered away from that, which I'm fine with. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
I mean, but as far as this sketch goes, I think it's all right. It's an interesting premise. You know, a lot of people do feel like it is very kind of complicated and a little convoluted. Like, no one really knows how to get the vaccine. It seems like it's up to every state, and everybody's having issues getting answers. And like, no, like it is kind of like a game show. It's like, can I get the vaccine? Anybody have any real?
I mean,
answers?
I haven't really done any research into getting it yet. I'm getting like the occasional text from my mother saying like, "Oh, have you gotten the vaccine yet?" And I have to be like, "No, Mom, I'm not in like a high at risk group, so I haven't. I'm probably not going to get it for a little while." But then I go on Facebook and I see some people who are like in my age group that because of their occupations or their health issues or whatever, they've gotten the vaccine. And I'm like, well, should I be getting the vaccine now? I don't know.
Yeah. And also, I mean, what those friends here, do they live in Jersey? Because I think, I said, look, stay for, oh, it is? Oh, shit. Should I be getting the vaccine? I haven't gotten it either.
I don't know.
See,
I don't know.
One has answers. Exactly. And that's what this gets. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're still like kind of restoring sanity. So,
yeah, we're slowly getting back to some type of sane reality. And yeah. I mean, I guess this sketch kind of reflects that. But yeah, all in all, I thought the sketch was all right. It's a nice little cold open.
Yeah, I was surprised when I went on YouTube and I saw the length of it. It's 9 minutes and 10 seconds. That's really long.
Yeah, it didn't feel that long, which I guess is a good, you know, speaks well of the sketch, because like when we've had cold opens where they've been like 9 minutes long and you felt it. Oh, you feel it.
But this one did move along all right. So and there was some funny stuff in there. So it was all right.
Yeah, not too bad.
Next, we had the Nick Jonas monologue. He comes out and he said it's been a year to the day since he last performed live. And it's nearly a year to the day for me. So
yay.
Cause I did like one last stand-up date in March last year, and it was like kind of a last minute thing. And it was like close enough. I think I started quarantining the next day.
Oh, wow.
And I remember it was like close enough that it was like, I was feeling very self-conscious of like, oh, should I be masking up? Should I be shaking hands? Should I be fist bumping people? I don't know. It was still like in that weird area. So
yeah, I think like the last show I did was either January or February. It was like a show I did in Montclair. at like this art gallery, and it went pretty well. And then the last show I went to before the quarantine was the non-productive comedy show brought to you by Non-Dutch Productive.
Oh, well, look at that. Unbrand.
Yeah, and I think that's the one like I kind of helped get some comedians on, because I think John Minus was under the weather. And yeah, it was a really good show. And, you know, little did we know that would be the last show for a while.
I know. It's like, if I knew that was going to be the last thing, I would have savored it a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so Nick Jonas comes out, he talks about that. And then it turns out his brother, Kevin Jonas, is in the audience. And he's like sitting up at the balcony, and he says like, "Hey, are we still good? Are we still in a band? Because you're doing a lot of solo stuff, and I just bought a house." So,
yeah, no, I thought that was funny. And then I think Kevin had another ask him again. Hey, so real quick, Mbop, was that us?
Yeah,
I thought that was funny. I thought like they were going to.
That was really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were going to take it in this funny direction where, like, you know, he talks to his brothers in the audience, and but they didn't. They kind of took a hard left and went in this whole Broadway direction.
Yeah, he sang a Broadway song. I didn't look up what song it was, and I didn't rewatch the monologue before we started recording. Do you know what song it was?
It was a song "Drink with Me" from Les Misérables.
Okay, I knew it was familiar. I was like, I know I've seen this and I've heard this song before. So yeah, Nick Jonas sang that with Keenan, Kate, Beck, and Cecily. A lot of singing in this episode.
A lot of singing. This is like a theater nerd's wet dream, this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you have a talented singer on the show, yeah, you're going to make use of him. Have him sing as much as possible, especially when he's not like a trained actor.
Right. So like, you know, as in this monologue, like, this kind of took a few turns where he mentions he's from Jersey and he has some lines about, you know, being from Jersey. And then there's that segment where he's talking to his brother, Kevin. And then it takes us, like I said, it takes this hard left where he's like, well, it's been a year now since Broadway's been shut down. And so I'd like.
Yeah, because I think he was doing a Broadway show of some kind.
I believe so. Yeah, we should have answers for this. So, but
let me look it up. Let me just do a quick Google.
But yeah, so in a tribute to Broadway being shut down, like, they sing the song from Les Mis, "Drink with Me," and, you know, of course, they talk about how, you know, you need to get drunk to get through this madness. And then that's it. This is actually a pretty quick, short monologue. I was actually surprised at how quick it went. It was just like...
It's only like 3 or so minutes. Okay, apparently he's done a lot of Broadway shows. The only link I can find right now is the big photo gallery you have to scroll through one by one, so I'm not going to do that. He's been on Broadway a lot, you guys.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, just take my word for it.
But yeah, I thought the monologue was all right. It wasn't.
I think the best bit was the Kevin Jonas being in the audience, and I loved the Mbop handsome joke. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. No, I kind of wish they went more in that direction, but the you know, the singing, the Broadway tribute, I thought that was nice. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to go right into the next sketch.
Yeah, go ahead.
So next sketch, Workout Mirror, or Mirror Workout. I think
Mirror Workout is what it's called on YouTube.
I wrote down Workout Mirror, and okay.
That was what I originally wrote down, but then I saw how they had it on YouTube, so I corrected my notes, Darren, like a professional.
Wow. We're gonna have this out now?
This has been a problem for a long, long time, Darren.
This is how you're going to talk to me in front of all these listeners?
This is how it is. Yes. So anyway, we had Chris Redd and Mikey Day as two buddies who are getting ready to work out on their brand new workout mirror. It really should be called Workout Mirror.
Thank you. See? I am right. And apparently,
it's the new high-tech thing where you've got like the trainer appearing in the mirror to kind of guide you through and coach you on.
And apparently this is like a real thing, right?
I've seen advertisements for it, yeah.
Wow. That's trippy, man.
Yeah, we're living in the future. So we had Nick Jonas show up as the first trainer, Nathan, and they're cycling through trainers. I thought this was going to be another sketch like where we cycle through a lot of trainers like in the cycling thing. They've done that a number of times before, but they had a cool twist on it. We had Kate show up as Shannon Delgado, who's just this suburban housewife type. And she's like, I'm trapped in the mirror. Please help me undo the curse. I was rude to a fortune teller. Please call my husband Ron and tell him not to remarry.
Right. And in this sketch, Mikey's kind of the straight person, just kind of saying, oh, yeah, whatever. But let's work out on our abs. And then Chris Redd is the more concerned one, who's like, who's Shannon Delgado? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Whereas Mikey's kind of sort of just whatevering it off.
Yeah. He's much more concerned about Shannon Delgado's well-being.
And then we have...
I really like the twist in this. I thought that it was a good turn. We had Pete pop up again as a Zuzzle who guards the gateway, and he's preventing Shannon from escaping from the mirror.
Yeah, and Pete doing some great character. This might be like the season of Pete. Like, he's really mm-hmm. been killing it.
Yeah, I feel like he's probably in good shape and a good place right now, so he's able to devote himself to the show more. Maybe also the show's pushing him a little bit more because he's that Suicide Squad movie he's going to be in is coming up before too long. So.
Right, HBO Max. But yeah. So Pete plays Azuzel, who's like the demon who guards the gate, and he's like, "Work, Shannon, work for me."
Yeah.
And of course, then they cut back to one of the other trainers, like Nick Jonas, who's like, "Hey, all right, so now we're gonna work on our quads and our pleats today." Oh, by the way, just a pro tip: don't listen to Shannon Delgado; she's a liar. So anyway.
I really like that, and I like the twist at the end where Shannon ends up escaping from the mirror because she tricks them into saying like the incantation to free her, and then Mikey's character gets trapped in the mirror instead. I thought that was a clever ending, and you know, so often you see SNL sketches that just kind of peter out. It's nice to see one with a strong ending.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one thing I really took away from the sketch. It had a solid ending, which is something like you said, like a lot of sketches don't really have nowadays. Like, I think that's why this sketch kind of reminded me of maybe something that would have come out in like the 80s or the 90s, where it's like a sketch with a solid premise, solid beginning, middle, and an end, a capper. Mm-hmm. And this sketch had all that. This was I really liked the sketch quite a bit, actually.
It was a good strong sketch. I can see why they put it up at the top of the show.
Yeah, thumbs up here.
Thumbs up for me too. Next we had a pre-tape murder show, which was Nick Jonas just leaving his wife, Chloe, at home alone. He's like, hey, what are you going to do while I'm out? And she's like, oh, just get some work done and just relax a little bit. And then as soon as he's gone, she starts singing a song about how she's going to watch a murder show.
Yeah, apparently this is a thing where just a lot of people really enjoy watching like murder, true crime documentaries and podcasts, mm-hmm. like to the point that they kind of maybe find it like soothing, or the people, like there are a lot of people out there who are really obsessed with like murder.
Yeah. I liked how they played up the juxtaposition in this one where she's like, she's watching all this disturbing stuff with like severed limbs or decapitations, while at the same time she's texting with her sister with like pictures of her nephew, or she's doing her taxes. I really like this. This was a group musical number. We had Chloe, Melissa, Ego, and who's the fourth? I'm forgetting the fourth.
Kate,
yes. And and it was a catchy number. We had another couple turns in there. Nick Jonas comes back home and he's like, hey, if you like murder shows, you should check out cult shows. And those are a trendy thing right now.
People love watching cults too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought this sketch was all right. It just seemed like it had like an interesting premise about like people do love watching true crime shows or true crime documentaries, you know, and true crime and cult shows, but it didn't really seem to go anywhere like, you know, past that type of idea. It just kind of
sounds like I enjoyed it more than you did. I enjoyed like kind of the juxtaposition of them just doing mundane things like folding their laundry while they're watching this really disturbing stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that worked well. And, and I like the little sting at the end where Melissa's like, hey, also baking shows. And she just has like a tray of cupcakes.
That I did get a kick out of because, you know, my wife she does enjoy a good baking show. That, That great British.
And I also enjoyed this just for the production value, because like all the ladies were decked out in these really just elaborate red and black outfits, and they're wearing wigs, and you know, it's cut like a music video, and you just watch it and you're just like, how did they just put this all together in like just probably 2 days?
I don't know. My hat's off to the production team over at SNL. I mean,
yeah,
you're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I thought it was just pretty incredible, and from a technical standpoint, and I thought it was pretty entertaining. So thumbs up on this one for me.
Yeah, I thought this one was okay.
Okay. All right. So next we had Cinderella Slipper, which was a live sketch, end of the Disney version of Cinderella, and everyone's a pretty close match for the Disney Cinderella, I thought.
Yeah, again, the production team is on it.
Yeah, Chloe looked eerily like the Disney Cinderella in the wig they gave her. We had Melissa and Cecily as the evil stepsisters, Kate as the evil stepmother, Nick Jonas as the prince, and Keenan as like his, what would you call him? His aide, his attendee?
Assistant.
Yeah, I'm sure the character has a name, but I'm not going to go on a Disney wiki and look it up right now. This one had kind of a weird turn, though. It had...
it did.
Yeah, Nick Jonas, he brings out the glass slipper to match it to the woman that he danced with and fell in love with the night before, but the glass slipper is way too small. It looks like it fits a doll rather than a human being. And it turns out it actually belongs to 80 as one of the mouse friends of Cinderella.
Yeah, like I think it's Kate as evil stepmother says, "Oh, you didn't clock that shoe was like super small."
Yeah,
and then it turns out that it belongs to the, like you said, like the mouse played by 80, and then it's just the prince kind of coming to grips with the fact that he hooked up with a mouse.
Yeah, there's a lot of dude, you banged a mouse. This one kind of took a while to get to the actual turn. Like the stepsisters had a lot of dialogue at the beginning, and I'm like, oh, is this about the stepsisters? Because they seem to be getting a lot of play, and no, not really.
Yeah, because at one point, like I think Cecily, who's one of the stepsisters, she's like, she curtsies, and then of course you hear a fart noise, mm-hmm. and the prince is like, oh wow, I really smell that, and she's like, oh, excuse me, prince, all I eat are berries and raw deer meat.
Yeah,
which is like, oh, all right.
This was a weird one. I thought it was a little more weird than funny, personally.
No, I'm with you. This was like a 10-1. This was just like, it went down some really weird ways. It's like the fact that he's like he banged a mouse, and then she really goes into it. It's like, oh yeah, you dipped me in a champagne glass, and I went to town. I was like this was one of those sketches where like my wife watched it, and she was kind of like disturbed by it. She was like, oh. I think she had to like leave the room. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I almost really had to apologize to her because it goes in weird directions. Because like I think at one point,
so your wife's not into the mouse bestiality in her late night comedy, huh?
Go figure. Go figure.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like at one point, I think the prince talked to his aide saying, "Did I really? You didn't say anything about like me hooking up with the mouse?" And then I think the aide played by Keenan says, "Yeah, you know, hey, love is love, whatever. You know, sometimes." Yeah. You got
to
wonder.
I didn't think it was my place to say anything.
Yeah, like sometimes you got to wonder what, you know, Jafar does if he puts like birdseed down there and lets Iago go to town. Like this.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was like, so, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, SNL put that image in our heads.
This sketch, it didn't
it,
really.
It went some places.
It went some places. And then they talked about how the mouse might be pregnant now, but. Like, you know, she'll take care of it, and she'll like eat half the babies. I was like, oh, it got weird and gross. I don't want to sound like a prude or nothing, but
again, more weird than funny.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't. This one, this is for a specific type of person, a type of humor they're going for. This one was a bit of a miss for me, I'd say.
Yeah, but more of a miss. I mean, I found it. Probably most interesting for the technical aspects of how closely they match the character designs on the Cinderella cartoon. And, you know, it's always impressive when they blue screen a miniature character in there, like they did with 80 in the sketch.
Yeah.
That's one of their go-tos now. Cause I guess they can do that, fairly easily technically. So
yeah, I mean, they kind of did that with the Ratatouille sketch at the end of mm-hmm. the Krasinski episode. This kind
I remember they did it with Jason Momoa. They had him as like the elf on the shelf. I mean, it's like one of their go-tos now, technically.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the sketch kind of reminded me of that, you know, that Ratatouille sketch, where the Ratatouille sketch was kind of weird, but in a good way. But this one was kind of weird in just a straight up weird way.
Yep.
If that makes any sense.
It does.
Hey, thank you. All right.
All right. So next we had another pre-tape. This was just called Bachelor Party. And as you might expect, it was a bunch of guys getting together for a bachelor party for Beck Bennett's character. And then the doorbell rings. They say it's a quote-unquote pizza delivery. It's actually Ego and Heidi showing up as the party entertainment, a couple of strippers. And then they start singing a song about getting boners next to your friends.
Because that's what happens. Yeah, like this sketch I thought was really interesting just because, I thought it was going to go one way. And then it went into this, took a left turn and went to this direction of just straight up singing. Because in the beginning of the sketch, Kyle is there and Kyle says, oh, I always, you know, he talks to the guy getting married, the bachelor, and says, oh, I always thought you were going to marry, you know, so-and-so from third grade. Remember her?
Right.
No one else gets it because he's a friend from childhood who no one else really knows. So he makes a reference that only him and the, you know, groom would get.
Yeah, the show has really been leaning into Kyle plays a character who is awkward and doesn't fit into the group.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's just coming straight from Kyle Mooney, if, you know, that's how he feels at SNL, even after all these years he's been on the show. But he's doing a lot of that.
He is constantly the outsider. Like, even... Mm-hmm. Even in a sketch coming up that we'll talk about, like he's the outsider.
Yeah, I mean we did it like two or three times with him on this episode. So yeah, it was weird. I thought the song was funny. I really liked at one point they just cut to Ego and Heidi standing there as the strippers, and they're in their black sort of S&M gear, and they are just like staring at the guys like, "What the F are you doing?"
Yeah,
I thought that was the funniest moment of the sketch, personally.
Yeah,
them reacting.
Yeah, because the guys go into this like Broadway-esque type of song about like this time-honored tradition of, you know, doing this, you know, dudes getting wood around their buddies, which is a thing.
I liked that it pointed out the strangeness of like what is kind of a bachelor party tradition of like. You getting like a lap dance or whatever in front of a bunch of your male friends. And
yeah, I've never been comfortable with that. Like
it's weird. It's more awkward than anything. I think
it's like, oh, I don't want to know that about that part about you.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you're a good friend. I don't really care to know what you're packing.
Same, John. Same.
Yeah.
Let's just keep our friendship to this. Let's not,
exactly.
Let's not bring...
Bachelor parties are really weird, you know?
They really are. Like, I mean, for the few I've been to, like, the one that I had the most fun that where we just go out for a steak dinner and then go to a bar and drink and hang out. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I've been at a bachelor party where there was, like, some adult entertainment. And, yeah, it gets very weird. I was also at a birthday party. It was my friend's 30th birthday, and one of his sort of semi-friends hired a stripper there, even though he had specifically been requested not to.
Oh, boy.
And it was all the more awkward because, like, you know, the guest of honor did not want someone there. But you...
So the guy basically ordered...
You're almost kind of obligated to, like, it's like, well, you hired this person, you brought them out here, and I guess we're doing this.
So it's basically he ordered a stripper for himself.
It kind of. Oof. Kind of. I mean, there's some guys who just are like, oh yes, this is a given. This is something we do automatically. And then there are other guys it sounds like both of us were just like, oh, why would you do that? That's so weird and that's so awkward and it's so
Yeah, you really gotta, guys, just a pro tip. You really gotta make sure everybody in the party is okay with it before you just go ahead and invite
because if you don't have everybody on board, it's just skeevy.
Yeah, it's just you just giving money to a woman and everybody else is like
trying I mean,
to...
I guess it's skeevy even if everybody is on board, but at least everybody's on board with that.
Yeah, if they're not, it's just everybody trying to avoid eye contact with you the whole night, being like...
Oh. Yeah, yeah. And I think they address that well. Like, we had Bowen Yang as, like, Beck's brother-in-law, and he's like, oh, I finally see what my sister sees in him.
It's yikes!
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Alex, you know, saying, like, oh, I'm married with kids, I need this. Like, was that Alex actually singing? He's got pipes.
I mean, I thought that everybody was vocally pretty impressive in this, yeah.
Yeah, and even the one part where, like, they all get together and they lift a table with their boners.
Yeah, I missed that on the first airing. I think I was taking a note, and I caught that on the rewatch, and I was like, okay, that's a cute physical gag.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this sketch, not bad.
I mean, I liked how it sort of identified different types that you see at bachelor parties. Like, you know, there's the one guy who passes out early. There's the old friend who knew him in grade school, but he doesn't really know any of the other people in the groomsmen party. So,
right, right. No, yeah.
It was I mean, it's interesting from a social dynamic perspective.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I thought this sketch was all right. Not too shabby.
But again, I thought the funniest moment was when just this quick cut to just Ego and Heidi being like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah, like, and at the end, I just said, "We didn't do anything. We just stood here while you talked about your stiffy ding dongs."
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, yeah, not too bad.
Next, we had our musical guest, Nick Jonas. He sang. His first number was the title track from his new album, Spaceman.
Not about Leo Spichemin again.
Unfortunately not. It was kind of an impressive light show in this, and they did something I don't think I've ever really seen SNL do before. The camera actually whirled around Nick Jonas and was showing like a reverse shot of the audience in front of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought that was pretty technically interesting. Like, I was like, yeah. Wow, they're doing stuff here.
I wasn't too nuts about the song personally. You know, it's no Major Tom.
No, I mean, what is?
It's no Space Odyssey.
Yeah, is that your favorite outer space song? I guess it's
the first one that occurred to me.
I mean, I guess that is like the big one.
It's one of them. I don't know. I didn't Google top 10 outer space songs, but
well, I'm gonna do that right now.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the song, I mean, he did this song, and what was the name of the other song that he did later?
The other song was This Is Heaven. I remember liking the second number a lot more.
Yeah, I think, yeah, this, I'll agree with you. The second one was a little bit better. And plus, of course, they had the saxophonist from the band, the great,
Lenny Pickett.
Yes, he got like a little solo there, which I greatly enjoyed, and you know me, mm-hmm. Whenever I get a saxophone solo, you have my heart.
Yeah,
I'm a simple man. Just the weight of my heart is a saxophone solo.
So I like the second number a lot more. Nick Jonas has got a good voice. His type of material, it's not usually for me, but again, I can see the appeal.
Yeah, it's kind of more middle of the road, mainstream, you know, songs you'd hear at the mall. Type of vibe, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I can
sort of like tune it out while I'm browsing through a Barnes and Noble.
Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's stuff you're like, oh, I got to get a new cookbook, and that's playing in the background while you're just kind of mm-hmm. looking through like your books. Yeah. Okay. Flash from Queen. That's a space song.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I guess I think all the songs from the Flash Gordon soundtrack would qualify as space songs.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, 4 Non Blondes have a song called Spaceman too. Harry Nilsson has a song called Spaceman. It's interesting.
So are you just saying you wish he'd sung any one of those Spaceman songs rather than his own?
Maybe. If he sang the Harry Nilsson version of Spaceman, I might have been in. Okay. Now that I think about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think so. But other than that, the performances that there were okay. You know.
Easy. Okay. All right. Now, next we had a weekend update with Cullen Jost and Michael Che. What do we think of the weekend update? We had a fair amount in the news happening this week, as we do most weeks.
Yeah, for the most part, some good, strong jokes. Jost had some good zingaroos. There was one joke I was actually surprised to hear from Jost, where the Lesbos joke.
Uh-huh.
That was like, basically, they're talking about how they found an ancient petrified piece of wood from the island of Lesbos. They knew it was from Lesbos because it was double-ended.
Yeah, I didn't think much of that joke, personally.
I was surprised, like, Jost would say that. I was like, that's more of a Che joke. But then Che had, like, one joke that I thought was, like, strong as hell, where he's talking about the coronavirus.
Yes.
And how it's lowered the life expectancy of Black Americans by 3 years. In fact, the virus is so deadly to Black Americans, it's being suspended with pay.
That was a great joke.
That was the
most impressive joke in Weekend Update, I thought.
That one got like groans and applause from the audience. And I was like, after hearing that joke, I was like, I'm really looking forward to the his HBO Max show when it comes out. Because like, if we get like a whole half hour of jokes like that, I am in.
Oh, does he have a stand-up special coming out on HBO Max?
Well, yeah, he's supposed to. I believe back in July it was announced he's going to have his own kind of Chappelle show type show on HBO Max.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard about this.
You didn't know about that?
No.
Yeah, yeah, he has like a show coming out on HBO Max. Like, I mean, I don't know if that means he's gonna leave SNL just to dedicate all his time to that show. But I mean, as far as I know, that show is still in the works. So maybe he'll do both, or maybe he'll leave SNL, or I don't know.
Okay, cool. I will make a point of checking that out.
Yeah, I think people have been saying like, is this Jost and Che's final year on SNL? And it's still kind of up in the air. Like they've been around for a bit.
Yeah, they have done Weekend Update for quite a while. I believe that their tenure has already been longer than like most other anchors. I think it's been longer than like say Seth Meyers or certainly Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I kind of do expect for at the end of this year, like in May when the show is takes that long hiatus, I do expect some cast members to leave.
Yeah,
I think we're coming in the final stretch of like this final type of this final cast. Like I think like
the last ever SNL cast.
No, not the last ever. Good Lord, no. Well, okay. I mean, like
that's what it sounded like.
No, the last. No, I think like come like going like after I think the last episode will be like in May or so,
and I think
that last episode in May is going to be the last episode for a lot of cast members. I think we're going to have one of those good old fashioned shake 'em ups coming up soon.
I think it's probably going to be the last show for like Kate, Cecily, possibly 80. Cause I think they've all got other things going on. Keenan might jump ship because of his new sitcom. Although he says he's sticking with the show for now. Those would be the four big ones, but yeah, Jost and Che. Yeah, I could see them leaving, and I could see Lauren wanting to make a change.
Yeah, like I mean, they haven't said anything. I mean, I think Jost said something along the lines of, like he would stick it out after the election, the 2020 election, and then after that he would kind of reevaluate and see what he wants to do. I mean, and I'm looking it up right now, and yeah, like back in July. Michael Chase says he's getting his own show on HBO Max where he's going to star and executive produce. And it's going to be like a 6 episodes, sketch comedy show, kind of like, so things like Chappelle show type thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it'll be like about, current events from the Black vantage point. So,
well, I mean, I think that sounds like a great fit for him. And I mean, it sounds like he could get even more of his viewpoint in there than he's able to on Weekend Update. Not that he's not able to on Update, but that would probably be really good for him. So,
right. So look forward to that, guys. I mean, I'm assuming it's still going on. I just don't know if it's been shot or what, but I'm assuming it's still.
Who knows?
I think, yeah, it's all up in the air. Who Who knows?
But we did have a couple of segments on Weekend Update. We had Kanan as LeVar Ball, who is the father of NBA player LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo,
okay.
Never lost.
This didn't work for me at all, just because I don't follow the NBA or sports in general, so I have no idea what he's talking about, who he's imitating. This was just a big swing and a miss for me.
I could just imagine you watching and be like, who is this? Why is he like? But yeah, so if you know LaVar Ball, he's like the father of three basketball players that are like in the NBA. And he's like a very big, loud, boisterous type of character. He's kind of like...
Okay. So he was playing a real person, not a made-up character.
Yeah, no, this is a real person.
Okay.
He's like, he basically, you know, like he's like the father of somebody who's like very famous, kind of like a Kris Jenner or what you call it. Like,
yeah, no, I got it. I have no point of reference for this, so.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, if you see him in interviews, he's like very, he's pretty much like this.
I have not seen him in interviews.
He's very like kind of outrageous and boisterous and loud and people find him charming.
Okay.
So, and he has a catchphrase, you know, never lost. That's where that comes from. And this whole segment really hinges on how charming you find Kanan and how you're okay with just him just kind of going off and playing his character. And
for me, it is not very. And I didn't know the character, so like I said, big swing and a miss for me.
Not even when he held up the chocolate shoe that was filled with caramel.
I was very disengaged by that point, so I was just like, okay, yeah, he's holding up a shoe that they spray painted brown backstage. Okay.
All right, so you got up and got a sandwich around that point.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, I thought this was cute. Like, I mean, again, it's all hinging on, you know, Kanan's energy and his just big, you know, bombastic.
And also you having some idea of what the hell he is doing and who he is playing.
That's true. I had no idea who this guy was until SNL started making fun of him. And I was like, oh, I guess this is a guy. And then I watched some videos of him. And it's, oh, yeah, he really is this kind of.
Oh, okay. So you cared enough to actually do the research.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know.
I did not.
Wowee. Wow.
I was just like, okay, that is the thing I don't know. I'm moving on with my life.
Okay. And let's move on to the next desk piece with Marjorie Taylor Greene, played by Cecily Strong.
Cecily playing a new congressional representative, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was in the news this week. She put up a sign outside of her office just saying there are only two genders, male and female, trust in the science. And she does. And she's her office is right across the hall from another representative who has a trans daughter, I believe.
Trans child, you know, so she put a sign where she could see it because when you start a new job, you want to make enemies as quickly as possible.
Yes. Yes. I think that's just always a good game plan. I liked how when she came on, she was like, ow, I sat on a gun. Was this mine or yours, Colin? And Colin's like, I think you know it's yours.
Right.
Cause she's like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's hardline conservative, subscribes to a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff. Right. She's out there.
She's out there, but when it comes to gender, she trusts the science. And I liked how she was wearing a t-shirt that said trust the science, but science was misspelled.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, oh, I don't know if a lot of people caught that. It was spelled S-I-E-N-C-E. And that's like a very subtle thing. I don't know if enough people caught that, but she kept saying.
Yeah, I mean, because she was wearing a jacket over the t-shirt and it was covered. So most of the segment, you just see the word the on the t-shirt. So I did like the line early on. She says, like, I'm Congress's new it girl. It, like the evil clown that preys on children.
Right. And I like how when she had to sneeze, she kind of went into this like convulsive fit. Yeah. And that's because the last time she sneezed, no one said bless you and a demon got in.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. And towards the end, she talked about the Mr. and Mrs. Potato controversy where the toy company, I think it's Mattel, they've decided to get rid of, they're just calling that line Potato Head now.
Right.
And that's gotten some people up in arms, and she's like, and the phrase God-given potato penis was used, which, I mean, that's just comedy gold right there.
Great name for a band.
Mm-hmm. God-given potato penis.
Yeah, they opened up for Queens of the Stone Age last week.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, this is great. You have Cecily Strong playing a crazy lady in the news. I'm on board.
Yeah, I thought this was great. I thought she had some great stuff, some great lines. I like how, you know, even Jost was like, hey, you know, people are worried about stimulus packages and there's a lot of other things going on. Like, doesn't that deserve your focus? And she was like, nope, I'm worried about Mr. Potato Head not being able to show off his God-given potato penis.
Yep, yep. Yeah, this is great. This is worth looking up on YouTube, guys. So,
very fun. So next up, we got Amusement Park.
Amusement Park. This was a sketch taking place at a real-life amusement park that Justin Gardner pointed out on Twitter.
Yes, Worlds of Fun in Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah. And the ride that they're going on, Viking Voyager, it is a real-life ride. Apparently, all the rides that were referenced in the sketch are real-life rides at that park.
Right.
So that's impressive.
Right. Did Justin say, like, Heidi definitely had a hand in writing this? Because Heidi is a very proud Kansas Cityan, from Kansas City.
So. He didn't say that, but, you know, since he knew that and since she was in the sketch, I don't think you have to. I think it's a safe assumption.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And, yeah, so this sketch is a pretty simple sketch, this one. It's five teenagers. It's Kyle, Mikey, Heidi, Nick, Jonas, and Ego, and they're playing these teenagers on their senior year trip, and they're about to go on the Viking Voyager ride, and they're all kind of discussing how to pair up for the amusement park ride. And also, Kyle, he recently won like a life-size doll of Joe Gardner from the movie Soul, so he's constantly carrying around this huge, like a life-size doll of a black man from an animated Pixar movie.
Yeah, as they just call him throughout the sketch, the guy from Soul.
Right. Yeah, because Kyle says he actually refers to him as his name, Joe Gardner. And they're like, who's Joe Gardner? He's the guy from Soul.
Yeah. So, once again, it's Kyle. He's playing the awkward guy who doesn't fit into the group. And they're deciding how they're going to get on this latest ride. And they have to, you know, do two to a seat. So they're matching up in pairs. And the guys with the girls, Mikey's pairing up with Heidi, Ego's pairing up with Nick Jonas. And they're like sitting in the seats and kind of testing out how they're going to sit together. And with the girls sitting on the guys' laps. And Kyle's like, oh, well, maybe I should sit with one of the girls.
Yeah. I mean, this sketch was really interesting. It's like one of those slice of life sketches. And I thought it was interesting because it's one of those sketches that the joke isn't super obvious, or, you know, the joke is more about, like, you know, the character study and like how real life, you know, people kind of behave and whatnot. That's because, I mean, I kind of can sort of identify, you know, where you're out with your friends, like when you're a teenager and you go on a ride where, you know, you do have to pair up and double up, and you have to, there might be a girl there that you kind of want to, you know, get close to. And you have to be like, oh, well, you know, I think, you know, for height-wise, it would probably work better if I sit with her. So, you know, whatever's best for the group type of thing. It was one of those interesting things where it kind of clicked off a memory in my mind where I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that where, you know, as a teenager, you had to, like, double up and you had to figure out who was going to sit with who, and you always wanted to sit next to some girl, but some other guy sat next to her.
And did you have a giant stuffed doll of the guy from Soul when you were a kid?
I did not. I was,
because that would be weird, because that movie wouldn't be coming out for another 30 or so years.
Yeah, like I did not have that. It was just me by myself in the backseat, just one lonely Darren.
And now you have a podcast about a late night comedy show.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's great now.
Going great.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Going great. I thought this sketch was just kind of so-so. I felt like it needed another twist. I did like how towards the end of the sketch, everyone was just calling Kyle Cuck. And he's like, my name's Robert, actually.
Yeah, that was interesting. That's something I didn't pick up on until later, where like they do drop in that they call him Cuck. And then it took me a minute to register. Like, did they call him Cuck? Or maybe they're saying Chuck, and I'm hearing it wrong. Or And then
at they're calling him Cuck.
Yeah, like Cuckold. Yes, Cuckold. And they keep calling him Cuck, Cuck, Cuck. And then I'm like, why is everybody calling him Cuck? And then like the capper at the end is where Punky, who runs the ride, says, "Hey, how you doing there, Cuck?" And then he says, "My name's Robert. I don't know why everybody calls me Cuck." But yeah, no one quite plays the weirdo outsider like Kyle. That seems to be his go-to.
We got a lot of that in this show, though. So I feel like, you know, one sketch of him being the weirdo outsider a show is plenty.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. I didn't totally hate this sketch, but yeah, I think I kind of agree with you. Maybe you needed a little something more. It definitely felt like maybe, again, something from the 80s. Because, like, I do remember, like, SNL in the 80s, they were doing a lot more sketches about, you know, like I said, slice of life. That was more about character studies and how people kind of behave and act. And the jokes were within that. And there weren't as many, like, big, obvious jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're more like, oh, yeah, it's weird that people do this or people act this way.
Yeah, this one, I didn't hate it, but on the other hand, it didn't really grab me either. It was just kind of there, I thought.
Yeah, it was more of like a quieter sketch, I guess. It was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I get the point of this. He's awkward. He wants to make a connection, doesn't know how. And everyone else is just sort of like awkward and flirting with each other.
Yeah, it was more interesting than funny, I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, it's another return sketch, folks. It's the Dionne Warwick talk show.
This one, you know, they actually had one of those little bumpers where you see them setting up for the sketch during the commercial break. And I recognized Ego as Dionne Warwick, and I was like, oh, damn, they're doing the Dionne Warwick talk show again. And I got excited. I was like, because it was a really fun sketch last time around, so I was glad to see a return appearance from that.
Yeah, no, same here. I was like, oh, Ego gets to anchor another sketch, and the Dionne Warwick, I loved it the first time, and I liked it the second time around. I was like,
good. Yeah, so it's just kind of playing off of Dionne Warwick's Twitter persona, where she's kind of, I guess, sort of clueless grandma trying to catch up on all the weird stuff that's going on with pop culture these days.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she has on The Weeknd, you know, fresh off his performance in the Super Bowl. Of course, she asks him questions like, you know, what's your whole situation? Why are you from Canada? Mm-hmm. Then Nick Jonas comes on as himself saying, she says, you know, explain yourself. And, she talks about how people say he's the most boring coach on The Voice, and that's a show that has John Legend. A lot of interesting jabs here and there. Like, she holds up a picture of his wife, I think Priyanka Chopra.
She says, all right, yeah, so she says, your wife looks like this. Now show us your penis.
Yeah, there was this was all Ego. Ego was making this whole sketch go, and I think
she's driving the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one point that was like pretty distracting where she's talking to her niece who's like helps run the show, and while they're talking and having some dialogue, you hear this loud squawking, screeching noise in the background, but they were just talking over it. And while I was watching, I was like, what the hell is that? And then she says, all right, now it's time for our animal segment. And then she walks over and it's Andrew Zsmukes with like a cockatoo. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah,
like perched on his arm. But as soon as Andrew Zsmukes starts his lines, the cockatoo like just crawls up his arm onto his shoulder over to his other shoulder, and Dismukes is just kind of like, well, okay, this isn't happening, and he just gives a thumbs up and walks off stage.
Children and animals people
it just went so disastrously bad for him. I kind of loved it.
Yeah.
because like the joke was like she's supposed to do an animal segment on her show, but she's too caught up in seeing one of her old Dionne Warwick hits that she doesn't really care about it. And the cockatoo was just like not having it.
Yeah. So it's
I love how it is mute. He just kind of realized, okay, there's really nothing I can do to save this. So he just basically bunched out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the cockatoo's turned its back on me. Ego's just singing over me. I'm going to go.
Yeah, it was like, this was my one bit in the sketch, and it's just gone horribly for me. So,
Dismukes. But I think I would say Dismukes does redeem himself. later on in the sketch that
yeah,
we'll talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a cute moment because, I mean, just so unexpected. And, you know, what the hell can you do? I mean, your heart breaks for the guy, but it was funny in just how wrong it went.
At that point, you got to know when to fold him, as they say.
Exactly. He knew when to walk away, and presumably he knows when to run.
Right. So then later on in the sketch, we have Melissa Villaseñor come out as Dua Lipa. Melissa got a good amount of screen time in this episode, which I'm happy for. And of course, you know, they bring up Wendy Williams and how I think she wants Dua Lipa to come up with her and like egg Wendy Williams' house a few more.
Because Dionne Warwick, I guess she's clashed with Wendy Williams on Twitter and they have a feud going.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and then of course, Pete Davidson comes out again as Machine Gun Kelly. Of course, you know, just the sight of him scares Ego, you know, Dionne Warwick. And she's like, all right, no, get out of here. And of course he goes like, oh, okay. And then he just leaves.
Yeah.
I think people were kind of saying online, it's like, oh, this is going to be like a Lindsey Buckingham, what up with that thing where Pete just comes out as Machine Gun Kelly and doesn't say or do anything and leaves immediately.
You know, if they make it a regular feature of the bit, I guess that's all right.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just putting it out there.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Dionne Warwick talk show again. I think it's got some more life in it. So
yeah.
I wasn't glad they returned to it. I got excited when I saw that they were going to do it again. So
yeah, I mean, this pretty much hit most of the same beat that it did the first time around. But again, it's just Ego selling it and her charm. You know, just putting it over and not making it boring.
It's, you know, it's got to be tough to be driving a sketch like this and just keep it moving the way she does, because it really all hangs on her performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy for her. This is like a great.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that she has a recurring bit. I hope they don't totally drive it into the ground.
But yeah, this worked for me.
But for now, still like it.
Yeah, this worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got our final sketch, 10-1. It's the post-COVID dating, I believe it's called.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. We had our host, Nick Jonas, and Kate McKinnon flirting at the bar. But it's very awkward because it's the first time out of the house since lockdown for both.
Right. And right off the bat, I love how this sketch began, because it begins with, that, like you said, them in a bar. Andrew Dismukes is the piano player playing piano. Kate is leaning on the piano, listening to him play, saying, wow, that's really beautiful. He says, oh, thank you very much. And then she just casually takes a dollar out of his tip jar and walks over to the bar.
Yeah, it takes it out of the tip jar. I loved that. That was, I like that just subtle indicator. Yeah, it's going to get weird from here on out.
Yeah, that set the tone. And I was like, yes. All right, let's, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that they just did that with no dialogue. It wasn't commented on at all. It just, and then she goes up to the bar. And Nick Jonas starts speaking to her, but then it cuts from a close-up to a wide shot, and we realize he's talking in the wrong direction. He's actually speaking into a mirror, or what he thinks is a mirror, but it's actually a painting on the wall of a lion with a man's head in its mouth.
Right. So basically, the sketch is just like absurd line after absurd line after absurd line. Nick tries to hit on Kate by saying the pickup line, you have beautiful eyes, they look better on my floor.
Right. Never fails.
Right. And I think
Kate alludes to her time in prison, and she shows off her knuckle tattoos from her time in prison that say love on one fist and then say hat on the other.
Yeah.
And it's not that she was trying to get hate tattooed. She just loves hats.
Yeah, I mean, the tattoos are a little hard to read, but like if you could make it out.
On my TV, I was like, I cannot read those at all. When I watched the sketch online, I think they either used the dress version or they inserted some cutaways that weren't in the live version.
Yeah, I think
so the gag works online.
Yeah, they should have just like filled it in the letters a little bit more so it would be easier to read. But yeah, they're a little difficult to read. I think, and then Kate does this one trick where she puts the stem of a cherry in down her blouse. And it comes out in a nut.
Right.
So
right. Most ladies, they do that with their tongues. It takes an impressive woman to do it with her cleavage.
Right. And then Nick tries to impress her with a magic trick he knows. And he pulls a kitten, a live kitten, out of his jacket.
Mm-hmm.
A kitten that continues to meow throughout the entire sketch.
Yes. It worked better than the cockatoo in the last sketch of getting freaked out by the Dionne Warwick singing.
But they
quickly hand the kitten off to Lauren Holt, who's playing the bartender. And I like that she hands the Kate hands the kitten off, and then she's like, could we get a saucer of milk? And then as soon as the saucer of milk is poured, Kate takes it herself and starts drinking from it.
Right. And the line that really got me was when Nick asks Kate to dance and he asks the piano player to play a song. And he says, hey, piano guy. And then just dismukes, just kind of stops playing, very calmly says, my name is Guy Piano.
Right.
I don't know. That line hit me. Is this just like a lot of absurd things in a sketch, but it all worked for me.
Yeah, it worked pretty well. And they end up dancing to Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and they sing along with some new made-up lyrics to it.
Right. And while the cat's meowing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was looking up online, and people thought about the sketch. A lot of people seemed to get a kick out of it. I think it was Bill Brasky, our friend of the show, said something like, I wonder if Jost wrote this sketch, because it has a very kind of Harvard Lampoon, like The Simpsons feel to it. Like a lot of the jokes were kind of like, oh, this sounds like something that The Simpsons would have done. And like, I would have to agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, my first reaction was like, I liked the idea more than the execution of it. And I wish it was a bit weirder, but after rewatching it and thinking about it a bit more, it's grown on me. I think I like it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is weird to see Kate in a bar talking to a stranger and it not being a Sheila Sauvage sketch.
Uh-huh. But with Keenan reacting to it.
Yeah, I thought it might go down that road, but it kind of went down, again, a lot of the sketches here, like, I think it's going to go one way and it goes another. And it went down this other road.
That's good.
Yeah. No, that keeps me on my toes. And it went down this other road, and like, yeah, I liked it. This show had like a lot going for it.
I thought it was a solid show overall. I liked during the Good Nights that Kyle came out with the big stuffed guy from Seoul for the Good Nights.
Yes, of course.
And I liked that Cecily was still in her Trust the Science t-shirt from Weekend Update.
Trust the Science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I trust in science.
Yeah, but I thought it was a solid show overall. There's one more sketch we should mention. This was a cut for time sketch
that's
up on YouTube.
Yes, absolutely.
Called Home Makeover with Mikey Day and who was the other guy? Was it it was Beck, right?
No, it was Mikey Day and Kyle.
Mikey Day and Kyle, of course. Yeah, it was Kyle playing another awkward guy. And they're two recently separated bachelors who have like a bachelor pad. They're sharing a pad together.
Right.
And we have a home makeover show. They come on and they remake their bachelor pad.
Yeah. I mean, so when you first watch the sketch, you see that it's them playing video games, hanging out in an apartment. And the apartment looks fine. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with it. It looks like a nice, regular apartment. And so you're wondering what the joke is. So then once they have the apartment, like, remodeled and renovated, then you see what the joke is. Because when they walk into the newly renovated apartment, it's all the walls are just stark white. It's one leather couch in the middle of the room, one glass.
They've taken out all the other furniture.
It's an empty living room, leather couch in the middle of the room, glass table, flat screen TV on the wall.
Dorm refrigerator next to the couch.
Yeah. A Scarface poster, of course.
And another poster of the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
Because they just need like a living room they can play video games in and like a kitchen because they do a bit of cooking. And they're like, oh, well, the stove doesn't really work. And they're like, oh, no, it works. You have to light it or just keep it on all day.
And then Nick is like,
no, that means that's a gas stove and you don't want to keep that on all day.
Right.
Well, really, you don't want to keep any stove on all day, I should say.
Yeah, but like they walk.
Folks, if you're listening to this podcast and you're keeping your stove on all day, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's a good way to have a home accident.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
All right. So and then when they walked in and they saw the the stark empty, not empty, but like the
pretty
bare,
near empty.
Yeah, the newly emptied out living room, but the bachelors love it. They're like, no way. This is like, oh, this is a joke. How bachelors live like in very sparse living conditions.
Yeah, yeah. This hit home a little bit.
I didn't want to say anything.
But no, you wanted to ask.
I know. No, man. Hey, how you live is how you live. I like the little things, like when they talked about, hey, so all those, you know, ketchup packets you had lying around. Well, we just went ahead and put those all in one ketchup bottle for you.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's smart.
And, you know, we know you like the alcohol. So we had our friends at the local alcohol establishment give you two bottles of Jameson's.
No way. We could keep both of those.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also got him an air fryer. So,
yeah.
So he's like, oh, well, great. Now when my kids can visit, I can make my trademark tater tots.
Right. I think at one point they said, we know how tough it is for you to share like one towel. So we got you guys four towels, all dark blue, so you don't have to worry about them getting dirty.
And it's that hides the stains. And I was like, yep, that's I usually get the dark color towels.
I didn't want to ask like how hard this
again. No, you want to ask.
Yeah, it's like, does this really hit home for you? Like a lot of this stuff.
Not every single bit, but several of the bits. Enough to be like, okay, yeah, well, I got, you know, the off-white walls that, you know, wasn't my choice, but that's how the apartment was when I moved in. And yeah, I got the navy blue bath towels.
Yeah. So it doesn't show dirt. It's smart.
Exactly.
It's smart.
I do not have an air fryer. I do not save ketchup packets.
I know what I'm getting somebody for their birthday.
I mean, I hope to someday work my way up to having a leather couch, but, you know, dare to dream.
Dare to dream. I really like the sketch. I really wish they kept it in the show. Like, I honestly kind of wanted them, after seeing the sketch, I was like, oh, they should have taken out the Cinderella sketch and put this one in, because it's...
I agree. Better. That would have been a good switch. And I thought Nick Jonas and Heidi both did a really nice job as the home makeover hosts. They really kind of captured the mannerisms and cadences you see on those shows.
Right. If you ever watch those home makeover shows, like this really captures like the feel and the vibe and hits on all the beats that those home makeover shows do. I really like the sketch. Like, part of me was like, I really wish they put this in the show.
Yeah, and it's close in time to Cinderella's slipper too, so it would have been a good switch. I think Cinderella's slipper was just like maybe slightly more unique in like the costuming and stuff, so maybe that's why they chose it.
Right. So that's the episode, guys, and not a bad episode. I think it's with the exception of the Cinderella sketch and. I would say, maybe for me, I would say the true crime pre-tape. Everything else kind of worked for me. I mean,
I thought it was a pretty solid show overall. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some stuff worked more than others. Like, you know, the cold open, I thought was okay. The monologue, I thought was all right. But like, besides from that, all the sketches I thought were pretty good. Like, I have very few complaints.
I agree. Let's see what the Twitter followers thought.
Go ahead. I was going to just, you know, wedge this in. We should also mention that Eric Eisenstein, who is one of the camera operators for SNL, this was his last episode. I believe he's been around for about 30 years, 36 years. He's like a camera operator on the Today Show and on SNL. And this show was his last show. And if you look on his Instagram and like Heidi's Instagram and I think Bowen's, like they show, you know, them taking pictures with him and saying, oh, this guy's been around forever.
And well, that's cool.
So just a little tip of the hat from the SNL nerds to Eric Eisenstein.
Best wishes, Eric. Okay, we got some Twitter comments from the followers. Vax Novier says, pretty good show overall. After a slow start with a cold open and monologue, I liked just about everything with only one dud in the mix, Cinderella. Mirror workout and the bar sketch were probably the most I've enjoyed of Kate in a long time.
I'd agree with that, because I mean, I think we've talked about it on the podcast where Kate can be, you know, be a little too Kate, I guess. Like, you know, like if you give her enough rope, she'll just like just go off and like kind of just do what Kate does and like play it big and loud and whatnot. But like, I think she was a little bit more controlled in these in the sketches, like her in the workout mirror and the post COVID meetup thing. She was a little bit, you know, and so we got some Kate, but we didn't get we didn't OD on Kate, I guess you could say.
I don't feel like I've ever had too much Kate. I can take a pretty steady diet of Kate McKinnon.
Oh, interesting. So. All right. But yeah, I think I would agree. Like, I mean, these two sketches, I think, yeah, Kate really worked it really well. And yeah, again, this was a great episode. I was really proud, happy with it.
Let's see. My old college roommate, Scott Hume at MNS Hume, says, I thought this was one of the funnier episodes of the season. The Netflix murder show and Boners with My Friends were probably my two favorites. I'm always a sucker for an SNL musical sketch. Yeah. So, well, yeah, there's a lot of music in this episode, so this must have made you very happy, Scott.
Right. Yeah. Man has a song in his heart.
Let's see. Charles, quote, twisted penis molten.
What?
At Queef Daddy Biden.
What? Is that spam?
I'm just reading what is there on the screen.
All right.
Says, question number one, would like to know your thoughts on the new cold open format. Is Saturday Night not fulfilling their historic obligation to lampoon the sitting president, or is making fun of President Biden too difficult in these polarizing times? Okay. Well, you know, one, I don't know if this is like a definite shift in the format. I think it's just them doing something a little different now that Trump is not taking up all the oxygen in the room.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
And, you know, also, you know, Biden's been in office for just over a month. So I think it's a little early to say we're not making fun of the new president.
Right. Like, I mean, I can sort of see, you know, both sides of it where, you know, like more conservatives are probably saying, oh, you see, on SNL, they made fun of Trump every day, but now that Biden's president, they don't make fun of him. Because, I mean, there is, I can't see that, but at the same time, yeah, I would agree. I think they're just trying to figure out, like, the best way to sort of come at him.
You know why they did that? Because Trump did more stupid shit, okay?
Agreed. And also, like, they were probably hearing all of us say, oh my God, it's another political cold open. They're probably tired of hearing us complain about getting
well, they were probably tired of doing them.
Yeah, that's true. But they had to do them because our president before was doing insane, you know, cold open worthy madness for like 4 years. So they had to comment on some bit. And so
I mean, give it time. I mean, yeah, you know, we're still in the first 100 days. So, you know, we don't really know what the Biden presidency is going to be yet. I mean, I hope it is good for the country overall, but there's going to be gaffes. There's going to be things that Biden does that aren't kosher.
Right. I mean, well, I know people talking about that whole Syria thing that happened recently with the bombing.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be plenty of stuff that he's going to do to make fun of. Right. So don't worry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still in early days is all I'm saying.
We're going to get there.
We're gonna get there.
We'll get there.
You know, I don't think it's weird that they're not ripping into him from the first week.
Yeah, exactly. We're working our way to it. We'll take my hand. We'll make it. I swear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, and the next episode back, it's gonna be Maya Rudolph hosting. So you know they're gonna do something with Kamala Harris, and presumably we'll have Alex Moffat returning as Biden as well. So
yeah, that was the big news from this episode. They're taking a bit of a break. They'll be back March 27th. Like you said, Maya Rudolph and musical guest Jack Harlow.
I don't know Jack Harlow. Do you? Are you familiar?
I looked it up. He is a white rapper from Kentucky. And he's
another white rapper. A fair amount of white rappers this season.
Yeah, I know. They're all up in the mix. And he's quite popular with the children, with the kids.
And from Kentucky. You don't think of Kentucky being a big hotbed of the rap artists.
Yeah, no. Like, you think Brooklyn, Compton, L.A. You don't think, oh, yeah.
You think not Kentucky.
Yeah, you don't think, oh, Louisville, Kentucky, the hotbed of hip-hop, the birthplace. But, yeah, no, he seemed to be pretty popular, so let's see what he can do. And, of course, Maya Rudolph She's always a welcome addition to any episode of SNL. I looked it up.
I kind of like that she hasn't popped up the last few shows, so we've had a chance to miss her.
Yeah, like I looked it up. For some reason, I thought she had hosted way more than she actually has. Like, I was surprised to learn this is only her second time hosting the show. I thought she hosted it a lot more. I was like kind of surprised.
It gets tough to keep track when they've done as many cameos as Maya Rudolph has.
It's very true.
We've got one more Twitter comment that I want to read. It's from Racine Oxtoby at Chick Buck Boyle. Says, wow. No dogs for Cecily, but Lauren got paid to hold a kitten and Andrew got upstaged by a cockatoo. If that's not the American dream, then I don't know what is. Agreed. I would love to see another Cecily dog sketch. If we can have kittens and if we can have a cockatoo, we can get some dogs in 8H.
That's right. I mean, we just give the dog a quick COVID test, get him out there.
Exactly. Have them snuggle up with Cecily Strong. You know, have them do some weird science experiment with the dogs in the sketch. And you got gold.
It's what the people want.
Or bring back the Cecily being the judge on the animal court.
Oh, Lord, that sketch was madness.
I feel like looking it up right now and as soon as we finish recording.
Like that one part where that pug just straight up freaks out and just like is crawling and squirming all over Cecily. I haven't seen anything like that in ages.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. If they want to just revamp Saturday Night Live into just an hour and a half of Cecily Strong playing with dogs, I will be there for it, and I will still enjoy the show.
Wow, Peacock! I'm just saying, this could be.
Yeah, let's have a spinoff there.
We get the Leo Spaceman show, we get mm-hmm. MacGyver, and then we mm-hmm. follow that up with Cecily Strong's Pet Hour.
So not MacGruber, but actually a revival of MacGyver.
What'd I say?
You said MacGyver. God. You did not say MacGruber.
Son of a. Yeah, I meant, whatever.
But you're locked in now. It's got to be another revival of MacGyver. I know they revived that show a year or two ago, but it's time for another one, damn it, because Darren Patterson is demanding it.
It's been
too. He's demanding it by accident, but God damn it, he's demanding it.
I can't even play that off. Like, I goofed. I goofed, everybody.
And what I love is that you did not even realize you'd said MacGyver.
I'm so tired.
In your mind, you 100% said MacGruber. And we're like, let's have this. Let's do MacGyver.
Guys, I need to lie down.
Yeah, okay. We got to wrap it up. We got to go. We are going to be back. We've done some discussion on what we're going to do, we got like three shows before SNL comes back with the live shows. So I think we know what we're going to do. Should we say what we're going to do or should we surprise the people?
Let's surprise people.
Okay. We'll surprise people. So.
Yeah. I just said MacGyver, so my brain's not working right now.
Okay. We will come back with something that is probably not MacGyver.
Probably.
We make no guarantees.
We do not.
But we will be back with you next week. We will cover another Saturday Night Live type property. But until then, nerd out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.